Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Sebastian Ryu, Director of Product Security Architecture at PQ Shield. Sebastian has more than 15 years of experience in the semiconductor industry, focusing on achieving banking-grade security on resource-constrained ICs, such as smart cards and mobile secure elements. Formerly of Tiempo Secure, he helped create the world's first integrated secure element IP, achieving CCEAL5S certification. Welcome to the podcast, Sebastian.
Hi, thanks for giving me this opportunity to talk on SemiWiki.
So the first question I'd like to ask Sebastian is, what originally got you interested in semiconductors? Do you have an interesting story you can share?
Yeah, well, as I was a kid, I was fascinated by television. And I wanted to know everything inside, how it worked. And ultimately, I realized that the most mysterious part of the TV was a semiconductor. And that's it.
Oh, that's a good story. That's very common for us semiconductor professionals. And what brought you to PQ Shield?
Well, that's several years, but now post-quantum cryptography is a hot topic. And I have seen PQ Shield developing well, and I have seen so many bright people joining that, yeah. I wanted also to join the party.
Yeah, you mentioned quantum. Quantum computers seem a distant threat compared to the deluge of security breaches and ransomware that we see every day in the news. Why do we need to integrate post-quantum cryptography now?
Yeah, so there is several points to that answer. So the first one, you may have heard already of the infamous harvest now and decrypt later threats. So this means that people are today actively recording data transmissions. And once Q day happens, they will be able to decrypt. And what I mean by Q day is the point in time, so in the future, when the quantum computer will be powerful enough to break current cryptography. The second point is that if we stick to ECDSA and RSA for authentication or for secure boot, for example, then once Q-day happened, we are in complete chaos because there is no way then to differentiate between genuine signatures and fake ones. So that if all our authentication methods are broken from the day to another, you can imagine the chaos created with that in our connected world. Another point is that the semiconductor have a long developing time. So you take like minimum 2 years to specify and then design and mass produce a chip. So you need to think forward always. And the last point is that the regulators are really pushing for it. So NIST in the US wants to have a secure boot and secure update using PQC by default from next year. And they want it to be the only method in 2030. So when you combine that with the long development cycles of semiconductor, you understand that it's something that needs to be done now. And NIST just published today three PQC standards. So they really push for it.
Ah, great explanation. So how about smaller embedded systems? You know, is PQC impractical for IoT?
That's a question we get a lot. People have the impression that PQC is impractical on small systems, but no, that's not the case. So almost any microcontroller can use LMS for doing a secure boot or secure update. You need about 6K byte of memory to run that. And it's actually faster than RSA or ECDSA to verify a signature. So there is, I would say, no excuse for not using LMS on a small embedded systems. And for MLDSA and MLChem, which have been standardized just today, it is true that they are a bit more demanding than classical cryptography, but they are still mostly usable on MCUs with about 50K of RAM or 32K of flash or ROM. So I think the false belief that it's impractical on IoT or constrained device comes from people doing evaluation on reference implementations, which have naive API, which may make things bigger than they need to be.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So what I've read is that all of the NIST PQC finalists have publicly available reference implementations. Why not just use those?
Yeah, so the thing is that that was the finalist before standardization. So they implemented reference implementation to make sure that what they proposed as standard would be understood with a bit accuracy. However, the published standard, it differs from what has been proposed by the original authors. So there has been many discussions for over a year now, from the day they declared the finalist and they selected the algorithms that they would standardize. There has been intense discussions, open discussions on public forums about modifying this and that tiny detail of each algorithm. And the resulting standard is, in the end, a bit different from the reference implementation of the original author. The other thing is that those reference implementation, they focus on correctness rather than being product ready. So they target cryptographers as an audience, not usual software engineers. And they also may not be maintained or ported to new platforms. We need to follow evolutions in compilers, especially related to optimization, because that can create some security vulnerabilities in the end. And more precisely, they are not meant to be protected against remote attacks, so the famous timing side channel. And finally, maybe in your application, you need much more than protection against remote attack. Maybe you need also physical protection against physical attacks, such as side channel using EM probes, or fault attacks using glitch or lasers.
And what about open source projects?
Yeah, so here it's mostly all the points I said earlier for the reference implementation, they also apply to open source, except that the open source project, I think, will quickly adapt to the standard as they are published. So there will be not this problem, but all other problems about maintenance, following about compilers, and then remote attacks and physical attacks, this is not going away, and this is also some limitation of open source. One drawback very specific to open source is, in addition, the risk of Trojan insertion. So by that, I mean that some people may join the open source community with the purpose of injecting backdoors inside. And the backdoors, when it comes to cryptographic implementations, they are very difficult to detect, because sometimes you don't need what I would call a wide open backdoor. It can be something as subtle as producing a leakage through the timing side channel or another side channel, like the power side channel. And then you have a vulnerability in your implementation, and it's very difficult to detect or to avoid by code review, because even when people are with the aim of avoiding power side channel, this is hard to achieve in practice. So if someone is deliberately wanting to do that, it's easier on his side than on the nice guy side.
Yeah, just my thoughts. Open source projects for security related IT just doesn't make sense at all, but I thought I'd ask anyway. So what product does PQ Shield offer today?
So PQ Shield focus on implementation of cryptographic primitives. So we aim at implementing all PQC standardized algorithms, and we support also classical cryptography, because we know that people are going to need a transition period. So they need some backward compatibility while they adopt PQC. So that's why we support both. And we aim at addressing the full spectrum of possible implementation. By that, I mean there are several kind of implementations. So we support pure software implementations. We support pure hardware implementations and anything in between. Also, we support low area implementations and also high performance implementations. Of course, you understand that you can't get everything. So you usually can't have a low area and high performance. But we support all those kind of trade-offs, so we can fit exactly to the requirement of the customer. And finally, another angle, which is orthogonal to those classical kind of PPA concerns, is the level of security achieved by one implementation. So by default, we protect all our implementations against remote attacks. And then for some project, we also offer as an option the protection against side channel attacks and also against fault attacks.
Okay, so looking at the competitive landscape, what are the strengths of PQ Shield offering that you just described?
Yeah, the first one I would say is the verification that we put to our products. So not only we verify the correctness and the functionality, we also verify the security level. In addition of implementing security countermeasures, we have invested heavily into the verification of those countermeasures. And we have automated our verification setup as much as possible. So we have a whole farm of FPGAs and oscilloscopes with EM probes looking at the leakages. And we do that as part of continuous integration, so that any change that we do, we can check that it did not degrade the security aspects. And to give you a bit more perspective on that, we use the spare compute cycles of one of our internal tools to evaluate the security of several open source implementations. And we did find a high severity CVE on the reference implementation of PQC standards. So that's one other data point showing that open source is best avoided when security is important. Another strength is our documentation. So naturally, we document how the product is working, how to integrate it. So that's the functional aspects. But we also cover the security aspects. So we don't let our customers figuring out how to achieve security while integrating our product. We actively push some dedicated documentation for the secure integration in their chip or in their firmware. And the last point is the wide product portfolio. So as I said earlier, we have multiple implementations of the same algorithms in order to fit exactly to the need of the customer. And we have a modular product, so you don't need to add the whole block on your chip if you need only half of the functionality, for example. So we try to offer a build time configuration so that you can spend the area resources for only the features that you use.
Great. Final question, Sebastian. How do customers normally engage with PQ Shield?
So we go to main events, main industry events, such as RSA, for example, or Embedded World or MWC. So you can find us there, of course. Otherwise, at any time, you can reach us through our website. We have a page, contact page, where you can send us a message and we will pick it up from there.
Great. Thank you very much. You know, we've been working with PQ Shield for more than 2 years now. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully we can contact you again so you can keep us updated on the post-quantum cryptography threat and, you know, keep us informed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be exciting years ahead as we see the first deployment. So we will be glad to comment further at some point.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.